Welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heart of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, and I'm thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we share stories that go beyond the pavement. I'd like to invite you here at the top of the podcast to help to support this endeavor as we continue to hear all of these great stories of running communities here, not just in Hampton Roads, but so far all across Virginia. To bring you these stories has been great. And so please help support this podcast, help keep this podcast going, because these stories, it is such a joy to be able to share them. Make sure to follow or subscribe so these episodes just pop right up in your feed. You can do that using your favorite podcasting app, or you can find it online at communityrunpod.com. While you're over there, make sure to leave a rating and review. You can do that on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or on the webpage above. And rate and review the podcast. Help others notice it, notice how much you enjoy it. And you know what? If you leave a review, I'll make sure to read it in the intro of the next episode. Make sure to also be sharing this podcast. If you share it on Instagram or Facebook, if you tag either at runandrev, runand_rev, or if you tag the podcast on Instagram at communityrunpod, I'll make sure to give you a shout out over there. And lastly, I would love it if you would help support this podcast. You can leave a tip, just a one-time thing. If you love this episode, you love the stories that you hear, leave a tip. Or become a member of the Run and Rev community over on Buy Me a Coffee at buymeacoffee.com/runandrev. Any sort of donation, if you leave a tip, give you a shout out in the next episode. If you become a member, I'll give you a shout out in each episode. So head over there, help to support this podcast, keep the lights on. So let's jump into today's episode. We have John Hartzell of the Hampton Roads Running Community. He is another JNA ambassador. As you are listening to this, everything is set up and ready to go for Shamrock Weekend. This is coming out on March the 15th, and so we are super excited. John talks about just so much of the work that goes into the Shamrock Weekend. He talks about his running journey and what it has been like for him to be on the volunteering side of helping out with this race. And so John and I dive into just everything that he has given this community and everything that he has done. And so let's dive in, let's hear John's story, and let's explore what this weekend looks like. Hopefully you are making your way down to Virginia Beach or already in Virginia Beach ready for this amazing weekend. And if you're not, then maybe you need to add it to your calendar for next year, because friends, this is a great race, a fun race, an amazing race. So let's jump into this podcast with John. All right, welcome in everybody. Another episode here. And today I'm joined by John Hartzell, who is just a staple in the Hampton Roads running community. And for those of you who are from around here and run a lot, you know, you'll see John running, but also, you know, helping out with a lot of these races, especially as they're going on. And especially as we're getting here into Shamrock Weekend, you know, it's really cool to get this perspective of folks who are fully a part of the run community, but also helping to make the run community grow and be everything it can be. So I was excited to get John on today. John, how you doing?
Doing great, Andrew. Thanks for having me on. Excited. We're only 3 weeks out from Shamrock season, so a lot coming up. Excited to hear about, you know, what do we hear Jerry and Amy talk about 20 to 30,000 people coming into Hampton Roads for the weekend. So it's exciting.
Oh my gosh. Even think about that. And so John, right alongside of me as a JNA ambassador, but I almost feel like at some point in time over this fall, I felt like you were actually JNA race staff. I felt like they might've like hired you and your wife for these weekends as they were doing some of these races. And so John and his wife, Blair, are just staples at all of these races, helping to make sure things go on, but also making sure things get done. And so, you know, I know there's a lot of sort of stress and anxiety around Shamrock as you and I record and being 3 months away, but also just an excitement of everything that that weekend means when we think about those 25 to 30,000 runners coming in and all those people coming in. And so, you know, I like to start this podcast by really identifying for the listeners, John, what is your community and why, what makes it awesome? Like what makes it sort of this great place that you want to hang out, that you want to be?
Well, for me, community is really, you know, anybody I come in contact, whether it's on a way to run club, water stop, you know, with pack training on the weekend, any of the races, the expo, I just like to share my story here from other people. You know, the running community is near and dear to me. I got involved kind of late in life, probably about 10 years ago. I was going through divorce and some personal struggles and such, and running became my sanctuary. A guy at work invited me to November Project, and I just met cool people from all walks of life that I never would have met elsewhere. And it's just, you know, it's just sprung forward from there. I've gotten involved in as many clubs as possible. I'm just a curious person. I like to understand how things work. And so I just attend as many things as I can and ask questions and meet people.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of folks in Hampton Roads, whether they're associated with J&A races or not, you know, they're seeing you out there participate. And I know even this last fall, you and I had talked, you know, you've had some injury stuff that's happening, but it doesn't stop you from coming in. And whether it is helping, whether it's, you know, showing up for these races to make sure that they go off without a hitch, or, you know, I'm even sure like showing up for, you know, some run club outings, while you may not be able to run, what drives that desire to really, you know, even when you can't run, to continue to be involved in some way, shape, or form that builds it up?
You know, again, I think back to November Project. I think when I first started running with J&A training team and everything, what I was so impressed with is people believed in me when I didn't believe in myself, and being able to have people encourage you, stand alongside of you, help you get some wins, learn, and then having the opportunity to do that for other people. I mean, there are seasoned runners here. There's plenty of them here. Many people that can help you, but there's also people that have never run before. I mean, we talk about the couch to 5K concept. They're overwhelmed. The hardest part is just showing up on any given, you know, weekend, whether it be to a run club, a race, like how to navigate, who to talk to, that sort of thing. So it's just helping people, you know, navigate, learning their stories and encouraging them along the way.
You talk about the start in November Project, and for listeners who are unfamiliar, you know, I often see a lot of folks who kind of enter run communities through November Project because they really are, you know, a great point to come in to start getting active. But I want to, you know, rewind, flashback, whatever we want to call it, back to that sort of first initial invitation. You know, what is your thought process when you're going that first time to November Project, the first time you get invited? You know, what was that feeling like for you?
I was a little anxious. I was late. I live over in Newport News. It's in Virginia Beach early in the mornings. I showed up on the wrong parking lot, the other side of Mount Trashmore. So I'm wandering around late looking for people. And I remember clearly the first people I met, Jen Bibb and Jen Ward, you know, back then we called them Double Jen. And they were just so welcoming. I'm Jen. You know, here's what we're doing. I'm over here. And they just invited me in. And soon, you know, you just forget all the anxiety and you're like, let me just participate. And then other people introduce themselves. And, you know, in the end of 30, 45 minutes, you know, I can't remember everyone's names. I'm not until I meet people several times, but, you know, people are, hey, we're glad you're here. Hope you come back type of thing. And then, you know, you leave and you're like, wow, that was great. I'm going to do that again. And then it just becomes, you know, part of your, you know, the makeup of your week every week type of thing. And you meet more people, you start inviting other people. And yeah, it's just positive and something I looked forward to, you know, week on week when I was going through those difficult times.
Yeah. And I think I like kind of spaced for a second and forgot that you live in Newport News. And so for listeners who are familiar with Hampton Roads and those who aren't, you know, I mean, there's quite a trek to get from Newport News to Mount Trashmore. You know, you've got tunnel, you got to come through a lot of busy traffic. And yeah, I mean, November Project is something that happens early in the morning, but it's also like there still is a trek. And so even reflecting back on that invitation process, like, what did that look like? What was the, I mean, even like getting down, like I want to get down to the pitch. What was the pitch the person gave you that inspired you to come out, you know, early in the morning, driving from Newport News, going through the tunnel, coming all the way to Mount Trashmore in Virginia Beach to join this group?
Well, at the time, I work at LifeNet Health over there off Concert Drive near the amphitheater. So I was commuting to Virginia Beach every day. And it was actually someone at work that was attending, and he's no longer in the area. He's left the area. But that invitation, you know, was the seed to invite me. And then, you know, he asked me how it went and then invited me out again. And I just started showing up. And so for me, I've always been an early person, and getting, for the most part, if I leave early enough, I can beat the tunnel traffic and everything. And that's not usually an issue. It's really the afternoons that are a struggle. So most, even though I live in Newport News, most all of my you know, activities before and after work or in Virginia Beach. That's where our social circle is.
And so you begin to be welcomed into this community, it seems like almost off the bat. And I think most run communities and most run groups and run clubs around here really want to echo that nature when they're gathering folks together and they're bringing people. Is that, you know, that new person who is coming to the group, the person who's never been before, or maybe it's only like their first or second time, is that almost becomes a part of, you know, we want to make them feel welcome. We want to make them feel comfortable. And as you're looking at it as almost like a veteran in the area now of someone who's been here a while, what are some of those things? And I mean, you talked about Jim and Jen who kind of made it really comfortable from the onset. How did they do it? And maybe what are some of those lessons that you've carried with you into what you do now in 2023, 2024 to help folks in this community feel welcome?
Yeah, I think you just look for people. I mean, people want to be noticed, whether it's at work or at a run club or anything. They just want to know their matter, that they've been seen type of thing. So oftentimes I'm the first one, I see someone new and I just walk up to them. Hey, I'm John. Haven't met you before. Is this your first time here? And they'll tell you a little bit about them or why they're there. And then you just start connecting with them and they find something common. They feel plugged in and, you know, it leads from there.
And it always makes me think of like how much a smiling face, like just someone right there at the front who like brings a welcoming presence. You know, I echoed this in my episode with Jerry and Amy, is to see the amount of pressure and stress that goes into a race morning. And one of the things that I appreciate about you, you know, especially thinking about a lot of the work you've done, especially, you know, in the last 6 months where I've kind of known you a little bit more, is like, it's race morning. That stress and anxiety are at like a high level. And yet there is this idea of, but there are people here who are like, their entrance to running is this time, this space. And so even with everything that's going on, you know, you're still there like, hey, what's up? How's it going? So what is that being fed from? I mean, I know there's this sense of community and there's this sense of welcoming, but even deeper, like what is feeding that, you know, holistic understanding of making sure people feel welcome, whether it's a race, whether it is, you know, a November project meetup or a pack training meetup or just another run club meetup. You know, we talk about this sense of wanting to welcome people, but like, what else is driving that?
I mean, a couple of things when I think about it. I mean, believe it or not, you know, I'm kind of most comfortable being a behind the scenes guy. Like, I just like to serve and help and do whatever is needed. You know, I'm not so much the leader, the visionary guy. I'm the tasker, you know, and that's why I'm curious and I like to understand what needs to be done. And they're like, hey, can I take care of that? Or I'll do that. Or let me know what you need to do, type of thing. I think that's part of it. I think the other is just anticipating what people's needs are and just standing and looking around and see, you know, how you can reach out to someone or how you can connect to someone, whatever you may be doing.
There's like this whole like community vision kind of thing, right? You look out and you kind of see what is happening, and there's that informational aspect where you're like just gleaning all of this information just through this sort of visual space of what's happening. And it's to me, it's really easy to do when it's in like a smaller setting, right? When it's that run club, when it's that space of, you know the familiarity of your run club, of the people you've gathered with all the time. And then there's like this whole race component where you say you're behind the scenes, but then you like, you just show up sometimes and you're there and you're helping to make things welcoming and just comforting so that when all of these people are doing this thing, whether it's on a Saturday or Sunday, you know, there's this, it's not necessarily this validation of all this work that they've gone through, but it's the environment that's been created. And it's one of the things that I love about J&A races is from the top down, it is just completely a message of, we want to create an environment where people feel like they can do hard things. And whether the hard thing gets done, like whether the PR gets hit or whether the race is great, whether it's good, whether it's bad, that at the end of the day, there's this celebration and there's this understanding. And so, you know, that's something that I definitely carry into being a run club leader myself and also being present in this community. And when you're standing there on race morning and you're doing some of this work, volunteering, and I mean, like I name, like John is a volunteer. He's doing a lot of this just it, honestly, like out of the kindness of your heart. Cause I think there's a lot of runners when they're injured would be like, no, I want to be nowhere near running. And John is the kind of guy who's jumping in and saying like, all right, how can I help? What can I do? And so when you're thinking about that, you know, where does that sort of passion to just want to make running the best thing that it can be for folks? What's your process for going about that? How are you viewing these opportunities, these weekends, these meetups? You know, what are your hopes and dreams that you're bringing forward into this?
I mean, we just want people to have the best outcome. You know, think about, you know, your expectations or your hopes when you show up for the first time for a race. You know, when you cross that finish line, your very first race, like how jazzed you were, how proud of yourself you were, you know, that sort of thing. People put so much, you know, focus and emphasis, rightfully so, on, you know, that 2, that 3, that 4 hours, whatever the race is. But, you know, really all the learning, all the bonding, you know, making new friends, you know, all the magic is in the lead up to there, you know, when they're going through that training block, whether they're 8, 12, 16 weeks, you know, some people just show up on weekends, but they meet friends and then they go do things outside of run club or outside of long run, that sort of thing. And when those relationships are built, I mean, that's where the magic happens. And so really that whole process, you're not focused on the process when you're going through it, you're focused on the race. But when you look back at the race and then you look back at that training block, and you really think about all that happened, that's where, you know, like I said, the magic is. That's where you meet those friends. That's where you go through the tough times. You meet the people that, you know, you have a difficult spot, you know, in your week or your life. You can call somebody and know that they'll be there for you because of the time you've spent with them, encouraging them encouraging you, the accountability type of thing. You know, I think that's what's amazing is the friendships that are made in the name of racing, but it's so much more than that. You know, many of my friends come from the running community, but we do so much more than that. That's what's so great about it. In fact, that's how I met my wife. You know, I met her in 2017. We were both in Team RWB, you know, a veterans organization, and we had mutual friends. We went to friend each other on Facebook. We already had, but we really didn't know each other. And then we got to know each other. We just kept showing up collectively with mutual friends and such. And out of that, our relations bonded, you know, at an event, I don't know if you've heard of that run where we sat around all day with many people, you know, running 5Ks on the hour for 10 hours. But again, it's just the relationships are what happened at the race. The race is the venue. And oh yeah, by the way, you know, you're running a race and you're trying to PR or reach your goal and finish the race type of thing.
It kind of creates this environment where running becomes more than the PRs, right? It creates this place where, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, like we've said, you know, you and I are recording this 3 weeks from Shamrock, and I don't know that I've actually asked you what your plans for Shamrock are yet, and if you're running or if you're kind of still, you know, working your way back in. But, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is not going to be a Shamrock where I'm hitting any PRs. And so I'm thinking about it like, man, what can I do this weekend? What can I do that weekend that can just make it the best weekend it can be? And I'm thinking about, you know, oh man, what are some activities I can do with my run club? You know, I've got my mind set on working, you know, the expo for a while and just getting to know people and meeting people who are coming in. My mind is set on, you know, definitely the AK and the half, the races I'm running and, you know, the after parties that are happening and all the fun that's going to happen around there. And so, I mean, my mind just kind of goes to that where, and there's kind of this transcendence where, you know, it's almost like when we stop thinking about the PRs, we stop making them like the primary point of running. I think there's also like this sense of, you know, the PRs will come when they come, but you know, how much fun are you having along the way? What are you doing to like make it worth your time?
Well, you talk about during the race, whether you're running your race and you've had your best training cycle or, you know, you're having a good race, you know, you never know on race day what's going to happen. If you end up, you know, it's not what you expected it to be. There's other people out there, you know, make a friend out there on the race, someone that's struggling, you know, just talk with people, you know, help them along type of thing. Or, you know, while you're out there, you're going to see so many people, you know, just encourage them. If you're on the sideline, if you're finished, if you're not running type of thing, you know, just call people and, you know, encourage them, let them know that you see them and they're doing a great job, that sort of thing. As for me, for Shamrock Weekend, I mean, I committed to Shamrock Weekend almost immediately after Shamrock last year. I had the opportunity to be what they call a key volunteer. And I don't even know how many people there are. You know, J&A, what are they, 10, 12, you know, staff people, and then everything else is volunteer. They have some key volunteers, people that have been with them for many years. They know the insides and outs. And so, you know, I volunteered with Ryan Conrad. You know, I was always curious a couple of years ago before he left and got some opportunities. And I was like, hey, I want to do more. And so I've just kept doing more every year. And so now it's at the point that my wife and I, we take off Friday and, you know, we're there from Friday at ODARC 30 all the way through teardown on Sunday afternoon, you know, when everything's done. And there's so many committees and teams and everything. I don't even know what each and every one does, but, you know, part of my team is just, you know, we're going to be setting up the race course, you know, so all 13 miles, all 26 miles, the 8K and everything. So we hang the scrim and everything, do everything on the boardwalk. You know, we work with the final mile, the kids races and such. It's just anything and everything that's asked of us. My wife helps up with the, helps set up the VIP tent. You know, we corral the kids when they come off the final mile. If you've never seen the final mile or thought about or looked at that beginning to end, that's getting those kids a taste of the race. Everything we do, like get them in corrals with the jitters, you know, they run through the race, they finish in the corral, they go, you know, to the finishing corral and get their medals, then their parents picked them up. It's just amazing. And then I went a couple of years ago with Amy and Mike Robinson. They size all the kids for shoes and everything. And I went with them one time to one of the schools to hand out the shoes and to see how ecstatic those kids are about getting shoes and having, you know, people come out and train with them every week. So getting them ready for the race and then towing the line for that 1 mile race. It's just amazing to see those kids and for them to get a taste and maybe, you know, excited about something that sticks with them. And maybe they'll move on to stick with it and become, you know, college or adult learners, either competitively or for fun, like all of us.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think it's great. And you have this whole, you know, volunteer aspect that you kind of bring into all of this understanding of how we, you know, run together, how we do all this stuff in community together. And so what does it look, and I've mentioned it, right? You know, I know you and I've talked about some of just your injury stuff in the last, you know, year or so, but you know, what's it look like for you balancing your desire to run, to be active, to do all these things, you know, and then to be giving back to this community that almost like sparked this love within you?
Yeah. I mean, you just got to look sometimes I get so focused on a goal, and that's great. I mean, that's what gets us up every day. And that's what, you know, drives us type of thing. But you know, when things happen, you know, I had an injury, I got through that. And then I went and ran in September and I ran my best marathon ever. And then a month later I got injured. But sometimes, you know, it looks like you have to put things on pause or the door's closing. I don't really think of it as a door closing, but maybe another opportunity is opening. So how else can I help people, you know, with pack training? You know, the last couple of years we've been experimenting with trying to get pacers. It's a long season, you know, so we worked with Roy Blakeburn and, you know, running, et cetera, and tried to identify some people that might be able to willing to come out with us and train our people, you know, help us get ready for a race type of thing. So it's just trying to think about how else can we, you know, give back to other people, in a way that others have invested in us, whether, you know, intentionally or not. You know, over the years, there've been so many people, I didn't know anything about racing. You know, you just ask people and they're willing to share with you, and people that are just willing to build this community. When I first started, whatever it was, 10 years ago, I mean, there were running communities and you could still run every night if you wanted to. But now, you know, there's a spreadsheet going around. I see sometimes it's like 30 or 40 run clubs across all of Hampton Roads. Many of the clubs, you don't need to start anything new. It's just get involved in one that's already established, or bring your group or your crew to piggyback with them or cross pollinate. It's just amazing. You know, you've heard on some of your podcasts and others as well, there's plenty out there. Just, you know, just show up. That's one of the mantras of November Project, but you know, literally just show up and, you know, get involved, find your people. And again, if you walk away from running, but you meet some friends, you know, it's all worth it, you know, type of thing. Nothing says everything's permanent. We're not guaranteed the same thing every day. People come in and out of your life, and you know, there are people I haven't seen in years, and then I see them and you just catch up where you were and you remember back when you were last together, where you were running, or and then catch up on what's going on and, you know, move it forward.
And I mean, I can't echo that enough of looking at your own stealth and looking at your own journey and then coming to a place where, you know, whether you're in a place to hit new goals, hit new anything, but to also be able to think that, you know, running is such an isolation sport. It can be so easy to think that, you know, you're running alone. And I mean, I've said this before, you know, you can run alone 6 days a week, but like, you know, I love for you to come and show up at our run club just because like, there's something that you get from like that extra kick. And before, you know, we hopped on here, you know, you and I were talking this when we're recording this, you know, yesterday, Saturday, you know, we had a little JD Ambassador meetup. And to thinking myself, like, how much of a, not like a kick in a bad way, but how much of like just a momentum, like energy booster it was. And like, I told him, like, I'm missing my own run club for this. And yep. I mean, I know that I get stuff out of my run club each and every time that I go, but like just the energy booster that I got from like being with others. And, you know, we ran pretty much 6 miles for the most part together and then came back and just hung out. And there's so much when we like turn running from this like feeling that it has to be, you know, you are alone with your thoughts on the road. And even when you think about it as a race, like some of the best races I know, and I think Jay and A and Jerry and Amy are getting better about kind of putting this culture in there. Some of the best races I run are races where like there's not loneliness on the course.
Yeah.
Of like whether it's like cheering, like people cheering, and like, you know, I know Jerry and Amy have done a lot of work with like that run club alley. Like you're coming through marathoners, it's your halfway point, half marathoners, you're like getting to the finish line. And then you just get this like huge boost of momentum coming through that area. And so I see in this journey sort of this movement from like thinking that running needs to sort of be this like isolation thing where I have to do it by myself. And so I just want to dive so deeply into like, how can we do this better as a team? So like, do you find yourself like when you're running, when you're training with pack training, that you're like changing your paces just so you can run with people?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, I think back to a couple of years ago, pack training, you know, one of my best friends that I run with, I haven't been able to run with him this past season, you know, because of the injury, but there's a group of, I don't know what their pace was, say sub-9 pace type of thing, but not everyone was running the same pace and a couple of us were running slower. So there ended up being a group of four of us and we ran, you know, in between groups and we ended up doing that all season and became, you know, pretty tight. And like I said, friendships, we traveled together, our, you know, Jim and his wife, my wife and I, we've traveled a couple places together for races and such, just out of that friendship that we built, you know, on a given day, like we're not running this pace or we're not ready to do that type of thing. So, and I think that's what's good about, you know, our group, my pack training, and I hear others do the same thing. The idea is, you know, really as leaders is making sure there is no one left behind. It's okay if people want to run by themselves, but, you know, let them know there are others there and let people, you know, speed up or slow down to pick other people up so that they, you know, get the experience of discussion and learning and knowing that people are there if they want to, you know, leverage them.
And it goes to show that that sort of communal spirit, when it becomes a part of that whole body. And, you know, I think about, you know, my mind now immediately like goes to Norfolk Harbor this last fall, and Jerry just like almost seemingly sprinting across the green to like let all of us run clubs know that like, hey, the last runner's coming through. And, you know, it's whether it's waiting for the last runner, whether it's being there to like, you know, help support everybody who crosses the line, reiterating some of those runners that like your goals are possible, you can do it. And, you know, how much has that driven your desire that even in these seasons of injury, but even not in these, in the seasons of injury, to then go and help to volunteer to make sure that things like, you know, whether it is any of these auxiliary races that are happening, whether it's the big major races that we have happening, or whether it's even just like pack training in general, or whatever run club training in general, like, what's it been like for that to feed that desire to help make sure that other people are getting those experiences too?
Like I said, for me, it's just a hunger to pay it forward, right? I mean, I benefit so much because people were there. They're willing to greet me when I showed up, answer my questions. You know, when I showed up to the November Project, my goal was to run a 10-minute mile and to be able to run up the stairs without, you know, stopping and being out of breath. And then, you know, out of that, people believed in me. Like, I think it was 2015. That was my first race I ran other than the 5K. That was my first Shamrock. And then I was like, oh, wow, I did that. Maybe I'll do a marathon. So then I went to a Marine Corps.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah. I way underestimated that. But then I learned, okay, I know what to expect in a marathon. And then 2 years later, you know, I tried it again and, you know, had a much different outcome. And then, you know, again, I've tried other things. Again, it's not whether you PR or go all out, but you're willing to get out of your comfort zone and try other things. I got invited and did a 6-person ultra. And I was like, wow, that was a crazy thing I've ever done. I mean, you're delirious in the middle of the night. You have no idea what you're doing. You're asking why you're doing it. You know, just amazing things and just opportunities. So I just want to share that with other people, make it available to them if they want to encourage people. You know, I remember a couple of years back running with a guy and we're just jogging. You know, we're heading south out towards the aquarium, out towards Dunkin' Donuts and coming back. And we're talking the whole time. He's new and everything and just learning about his life and what brought him, you know, to Hampton Roads, what his running story is, sharing my story and everything. And next thing you know, we're heading towards Neptune. And he's like, wow, I've never run over 10 miles before. I've never run 10 miles before. He'd only run 5Ks. And like, just by, you know, chatting it up and just talking, like we lost track of what we were doing in the process of discussion. And people are like, wow, that's amazing. I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah. And it's so interesting how the miles, they just tick by, like when you're running with other people.
Yeah.
I had that phenomenon today. Like just thinking back to yesterday and like running with folks and we ran about 6 miles yesterday.
Yeah.
And I just felt like the miles ticked off. And today I ran almost 8. And I think by the time I was getting toward the end, I'm like, all right, this is getting a little cumbersome now. I'm really starting to get a little heady in here, but it's amazing how those miles tick by and how they kind of, you know, just, it doesn't, you can get lost in them almost just because when you're running with someone, it almost feels as if there's something else that's going on. And, you know, you talk about this journey that you've come through and I wonder how much of that is just, you know, for me, I just wonder, cause I've been in running, like the running space so long, you know, I ran in high school. I didn't like run for my college, but I ran in college. You know, I kind of fell out and then came back to running. And I wonder how much of that comes from, you know, maybe that wisdom of entering running later in life and what it's been like for you to kind of come at this sport in a different era where it isn't competitive. I mean, like, I feel like masters runners can get competitive, right? They can get to that point. But I also wonder what sort of wisdom you brought in the sport just from, you know, you've only been involved with it for, you know, a decade of your life or so. And I wonder what kind of role that's played in your run journey as well.
I think it's certainly, like I said, the curiosity of not knowing and learning something new, a new craft, if you will. Not that I'm an expert or I will become an expert. I mean, I'm still, in the grand scheme of things, I'm an average guy, right? I try hard, I get injured, you learn, you redirect, you try again, you know, type of thing. I have different goals. I still, from a big picture perspective, you know, I look at my friend Jim, he just qualified. He just turned 60. So I'm in my early 50s. So maybe another 8 years I can qualify for Boston. I just want to do it to say that I've done it. But aside from that, I just want to have, you know, keep having fun and encouraging other people to do it. So I think it's a lot of it's mindset, if you will. I think for me, when I first came into running, it was that safe place where I could check out, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, whatever was going on in my life and everything. I could come. And, you know, for that 30 minutes, 45 minutes, hour and a half, you know, whatever you're doing, that was a place to kind of put those things on the shelf and, you know, focus on me or, you know, friending other people or learning about other people. And, you know, in some cases, maybe letting go of some of the things I was doing. And that's what I like to think about for our run clubs and our run community. Whatever's going on in your life, you know, good or bad, you know, bring the good with you, bring the positive with you. But if you're struggling with something, just know that it's a safe place. You can talk to people about it. If you don't want to, you know, check it at the door and, you know, just, you know, have that, like I call that sanctuary environment just to, you know, work through things and work on yourself, if you will.
Yeah. It's interesting, like bringing in, you know, sanctuary and those kinds of terms, because being a pastor, you obviously, you know, kind of bring this whole different understanding when you talk about sanctuary. But it really is like thinking about sanctuary as sort of that safe space.
Yeah.
That space where you can come and it doesn't matter what else is happening in the world, but there's just this like humbleness that is happening there. And, you know, it's nice to hear that, you know, what has happened, like the way that you were welcomed in the running community is almost beginning to like replay itself out as you yourself are welcoming people in the running community as well. And how that kind of full circle of things really plays itself out. Because, you know, I mean, for the lack of thinking, like, you know, this is a sport that we don't want to see die out. Right. You know, I mean, this is a sport we want to see continue. This is a sport that, you know, I'm someone that gets irritated when, like, the coaches use running as, like, the punishment. It's like, oh, you misbehaved in practice? Go run two laps. And I'm like,
yeah.
Don't do that. Like, let them find a joy for, like, this just the purity of this sport and what it means to be able to just go and, you know, like I like to say, you know, running is just a series of single leg jump, propelling yourself forward. And so, I mean, being able to continue to exercise in that way. And it's something that also just like, you know, we talk about the gamut of people who are running. You know, I just saw an article about like a 90-year-old who set like the 90 plus record in some event. And it's just cool to like think of myself like in, you know, 40 years, like, am I still going to be running?
I want to be that guy. I mean, I want to be the guy that still gets up every day and gets out and runs, shows up at the races, gives his best effort. You know, why not? Right. You talk about whether people like running or not, but there is a small group of people, and I think it's great. They're not there for the running. I mean, they may not even like the running. I mean, you know, I know a guy, and when I started with the JNA training team, my friend Joe, you know, he was an athlete, he was a soccer player and everything, but he would say all the time, it's like, man, I hate running. Like, why am I doing this? But he was out there for the social aspect of it. My wife's the same way. She hates running, but she loves all the people, the social aspect. We have a group in pack training, and they call themselves Team Timeless. I mean, they're, you know, they're run walkers, many of them, you know, walkers, and they're just out there to, you know, get physical, to stay physical and walk together. And they love coming out. So they have, some people have no desire to run, but they love the social aspect and the friendships they've made. And that's great. That's there for them.
Yeah. And I think that continues to like point out the way that this sport kind of transcends that. Because even if you have like a bad, like you want to consider like a bad relationship, or you just like, you don't even want to have a relationship with running. It's like, I don't want to run. It's like, yeah. You know, we have people come all the time. It's like, well, I don't really feel like running. It's like, oh, like if you want to come and just like go for a walk, like we've got folks who love to just, you know, at our run club, we have just our stock, like 2 mile walk route, you know, and they consistently are walking it in about, you know, somewhere between like 30 and 40 minutes. Like, I mean, sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's like a slower walk. And, you know, I think about those people who it does boil down to that community. Like they just want to hang out with folks. And, you know, what a blessing for the rest of us to be able to like experience people who are in it cheerily for the community and to like come together. And I think it really transcends our own perspective, because it's made me rethink of like, you know, I think it was last week we had run club and I ended up going for my run earlier. That way I could like walk with some of our other folks. I could like spend time with some of these folks that, you know, normally I'm off running and, you know, really try and dive into that, you know, communal aspect, the communal spirit that really, you know, pervades the entire space. I think at some point in time, I'm probably going to have to like forsake running a race so that I can like volunteer and do things. I mean, I do that sometimes. I'll work the beer tent, which is always really fun for me.
Yeah.
You meet the best people.
And it's amazing. A lot of our volunteers, they don't have any association with the run community. I mean, they're doing it for community service, that sort of thing. I met a woman at the 10 miler Labor Day weekend, and she comes from out of town. It had been her third year vacation, and she had seen, you know, rock and roll there before, you know, they left the area, and then JNA's backfilled at the request of the city and, you know, put on the 10 mile race. And she's like, my third year here, I see this every year. And I saw the opportunity to sign up. So she did a water stop there at Bird Deck. And she was asking me after the race when we were cleaning up, she was like, tell me her story and everything. I was like, that's amazing. You know, thank you for, you know, coming out. And she was like, no, it was great to, you know, see how, you know, this part of the race works and like, you know, how volunteers serve the runners and just understand it. So it's amazing.
Yeah. And for those of you who are listening, you know, I think that, you know, volunteering in the running community is another great way to experience, you know, this sort of community. And I mean, it's one of the reasons I wanted to get, you know, John on, is we can hear, you know, Jerry and Amy talking till they're blue in the face about, you know, what race directing's like and, you know, getting everything together and creating an environment. But it's, you know, it's people like those who are dedicated to the community who come out and really, I mean, whether they run or whether they volunteer. Now I'll say, like, knowing what you and I know about J&A is like, folks, they need volunteers, right? Yep. But even just coming out and be a part of these like big weekends where all of these fun things happen, you know, there's so much that happens in these environments that goes so far beyond, you know, what we could have ever imagined. You see so many stories. You see so many different reactions to things. I mean, I feel like Shamrock Marathon or any marathon is the person who crosses first and the person who crosses last. Both of them, there's going to be tears, yeah. Right? Because both those people have accomplished such amazing things. And I think that says something about the community that gathers around both of those celebrations and how you make both of those celebrations feel like the greatest accomplishment that has ever happened in the history of humankind. And so, you know, for those of you who are listening, as you're, you know, hearing John's story and, you know, we're listening to not just John's running journey, because John is a runner and we're cheering John on as he tries to qualify for Boston. He's going to make it there. But also just this idea of running has become so much more than that within this space is, to me, when we look beyond ourselves and beyond, like, I can set my goals for Shamrock, but to also look beyond myself and to be able to see, you know, what else happens in that weekend, because I'm going to cross that finish line and I'm either going to be happy or upset at myself, but that doesn't mean that I need to be upset with the rest of everything else. Like, let me come in and celebrate all the joys. And honestly, that helps, like, for a lot of us, I think it helps to ease the pain. When we don't have the day we want, you know, you can walk into that tent and it's like, it's a huge party and everybody celebrating. It's like, yeah, you had a bad day, but like, man, you know, this person for the first time just broke, you know, 5 hours in the marathon, or this person finally, you know, got under the 2 hour mark and a half. And, you know, it's really hard to get down when you're celebrating after some of these races, just because the community spirit becomes so infectious and contagious, and for that environment to be created. So John, let's hop into these end of podcast questions as we close out here. And so focusing on that running, what is your favorite distance to race?
I'd have to say the half is kind of my go-to. I won't say it's easiest, but I'm most comfortable with it. You know, I'm still stretching myself on the marathon. I still have goals and things, but the half is my favorite.
Best race distance. I still say that. Folks in the podcast are probably tired of me saying that, but no, that's mine too. So what is your favorite race to participate in? Like, we're not talking about distance, but just like race.
Again, I think it's because it's my first race, the whole Shamrock experience and everything. I love Shamrock weekend. So I'm going to go with that. You know, I've done all the J&A races. I've gone to Richmond. I've gone to Philadelphia. I've gone to Chicago. You know, I've done some races, large and small. Everybody talks about it. It's true. I mean, it's the total race experience, you know, aside from the race, that's what everybody signs up for. But, you know, the environment, the after party, all that, that's J&A, and Shamrock is the biggest and the best from my perspective.
All right. What is your pre-race your go-to pre-race meal?
I'm kind of a boring guy, creature of habit. I usually just eat the scrambled eggs in the morning, a couple hours before the race, but that's what I eat.
Yeah. And then finally, and I caveat all this, so you're just going out on a nice, easy run. What is your go-to shoe that you are slipping on?
I guess my everyday trainers, you know, used to be the Ghosts. I've been trying the Asics. No, you're going to stump me here. I can't remember the model. Asics starts with an M. Anyway, I can't remember, but Ghosts have been my, I just switched over to some Asics to give them a try, but these have been my go-to from the start, the Ghosts.
All right. Nice. Yeah. A little Brooks action there. I love myself some Brooks. I got a pair of Glycerins that I'm trying to run into the ground right now. And so I can appreciate a good pair of Brooks. But man, I mean, John, it has been so great having you on. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing that story. And you know, for those of you who want to know more. I mean, again, this is coming out. Like, friends, you do not have the opportunity to register for Shamrock after this interview. But, you know, Shamrock Weekend is upon us. But to look for those opportunities of how you're getting involved in your community, because those are the opportunities that feed us, you know, these great races where you can come together and celebrate. So, John, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks so much. And I'll just say, you know, if not Shamrock, like you said, we'll be broadcasting this week, that weekend, or people will hear it afterwards, but pick the next race type of thing. Most people, you know, if it's a weekend race, if you're running the 5K, maybe you're not running on Sunday. If you're running on Sunday and you're not running Saturday, you know, volunteer that day, or, you know, get out and cheer people on those days. I mean, everybody can do something, even if it's little. So, or pick a race you're not going to run and figure out how to volunteer.
Yeah, find ways to give back, because I mean, that's seriously, like, you know, feeding back into your running community, ways to give back. I mean, that is just the ultimate gift that can be offered. And so definitely something that people need to look at and help out with. So,
but I'll get out and see you guys after Shamrock Weekend. Our training cycle's done. We'll be slow during the summer, so I'll make it a point to get out there and visit you guys.
Yeah, man, definitely. Come on out. We logged some great miles, especially during the summer. We're looking forward to being able to explore a little bit more with the brighter nights and all them. But all right, John, you take it easy.
All right. Sounds good, man. Thanks.
Thanks for joining. And remember, make every mile count.